The markets. We just can't get enough of them.
Markets are the drivers of your wealth and investment strategy.
Welcome to Magic Markets with your co-hosts, the Finance Ghost and Mohammed Nalla.
Together, we have more than 25 years of combined experience in the markets.
For those looking to take their market and business knowledge to the next level, we offer Magic Markets Premium. Our recent research included a trip to Europe to look at H&M and Exor before swinging back to the US for banking giant Goldman Sachs, fast food growth story Chipotle, and technology leader Meta. Visit magic-markets.com today and go premium to get these insights. Welcome to episode 243 of Magic Markets. We come to you in a week where we've just done our premium report on Oracle, which has got to be one of the most hyped up AI stories of the lot right now. We come to you the day after I had a particularly outrageous experience with AI from start to finish. And I guess that inspired us, Mo, to talk about just AI eating the world, really, and how much hype is actually in this thing or not. And to our listeners, before you audibly groan and think, oh no, another AI podcast, I think Bo and I probably bring some unusual views to this thing. And I think it's important to actually just listen to as many of the different views as you can on the world of AI, some of which is from people in the industry. And then you've always got to be very skeptical of people talking their book and trying to hype this thing up, the hype train that they are on. We are obviously not in the industry, so maybe that's good and bad. With that out the way, Mo, welcome to the show. It's fun to do this with you as always.
Yeah, Ghost, I want to have some fun with the show. You know, AI is eating the world. The reason I want to have fun, and firstly, maybe just as a caveat that's out there, we're not Luddites, right? I believe AI does have a lot of good to bring to the world. There's also a lot of bad, and we always take a very balanced view on the world. And what we want to try and showcase in this particular show, I mean, obviously the hilarious examples you gave me over the course of the last 2 days, your own use case and experience with AI, we want to bring some of that into the mix. But what I also want to bring into the mix, maybe later in the discussion, is just where some of the other pressure points are emerging, because we're seeing all the hype in AI stocks, but there are pressure points emerging in the debt markets. There are pressure points emerging in the energy markets in the US particularly. And so we want to touch on some of those points. Let's maybe first start off with the hilarious part of the story, which Ghost, I want you to share with our listeners, maybe not the full detail, because that would probably take up most of the podcast, but take us through your hilarious use case on AI over the course of the last couple of days.
Yeah, so Mo, you're right. We're not Luddites. We are actually trying this stuff out to the extent that we can. Obviously, I am trying to make co-pilots a part of my day. I will say that I am Googling a lot less than I used to, except when I'm desperate about Copilot, but more on that to come. So it has actually been quite useful. What I've personally enjoyed is you can ask the natural language questions. It's been quite a useful part of the research process. Maybe we can talk about that just now. But the thing where it just went completely wrong is we host our podcasts on a platform called Castos, and I had recorded a Ghost Stories podcast the other day, and I needed to go and get a transcript for it. So the system that hosts our podcast can do these automatic AI transcripts. They're not very good. They always have issues. So the transcript that you read as one of our listeners has already been quite heavily edited to get it right, because we've had some absolute howlers that have come back. Believe me, you only need to see the word incest instead of invest once in your life to realize that you need to carefully edit an AI transcript. But anyway, I uploaded said podcast, which was free of incest in any form, and I got back a transcript in Dutch. Now, what makes this kind of funny is my guest has quite a strong Afrikaans accent, so I can only imagine that he said, yeah, in a very strong accent. And then the transcript, you know, AI tool, whatever you want to call it, went, oh, look, Dutch. And then what it has to do to arrive at that conclusion is it has to listen to an English podcast, transcribe, and then auto-translate it. And there's no way to change that setting. It's not possible. So then I thought, okay, well, this is great. You know, you try that a few times. Now you have a Dutch transcript, which is really not very useful. So I go onto the chatbot. I'm like, okay, you know, hi, help. Why is my transcript in a different language to the podcast I uploaded? To which, of course, you get an AI-generated response, obviously, because it's now impossible to talk to a human being at any international software as a service type platform. It's just not possible. And so you get this answer back that says, well, the reason why your transcript is not in English is because your podcast is not in English. You can imagine at this point in time how spectacularly irritating this is. So I realized I'm not going to get anywhere. So then I go on to Copilot. Hi, Copilot. Can you do a transcript from an audio file? Yes, of course I can. Upload the MP3. I've got this. Wonderful. Try to upload the MP3. Doesn't work. Try to make the MP3 smaller. Doesn't work. Ask it again. Why can't you read the MP3? Oh, just try a WAV file. Okay, go make a WAV file. Of course, it's gigantic. too big to upload, try compress it, too big, just doesn't work. Eventually, I'm like, I think this thing is lying to me. Go on to Google. Hi, Google. Can Copilot read MP3s? And you find Reddit threads and all of that where people are saying, no, Copilot is lying to you. It cannot, in fact, listen to an MP3. So now I am deep in AI hell at this point, late at night, under pressure, trying to just find what should be a pretty simplistic solution in a world where we have the Oracle CEO making big noise about all the incredible things they'll be able to do soon. I'm just trying to get a transcript. And eventually, hilariously, I figured out that the plan C at this point was to go into Word and use the dictate function. And before you panic and think that I played the podcast to the microphone into Word, which would really be very sad, it does actually let you upload an MP3 and then it does a transcript. So in summary, Microsoft Copilot, which is a Microsoft thing that is designed to work with Office, can't read an MP3, but Word, which is a Microsoft productivity suite program, can read an MP3 and give you a transcript, albeit of worse quality than Castos, but at least in the right language. Anyway, I feel actually quite a bit better now. I'm glad I could share that. It wasn't fun though at the time. Laugh, man. Enjoy it. I'm gonna make you do transcripts.
I'm so glad my microphone was actually muted throughout this entire time because I'm just laughing so hard, even having heard the story before. I mean, it's literally a comedy of errors. But again, I think this is so important because a lot of people out there are buying into the narrative that AI is actually solving all of our problems and it's going to make things a lot more efficient. And in fact, we have a real world use case. You know, we are very big on the whole do-it-yourself investment. We do a lot of our own bottoms-up, grounds-up research in Magic Markets Premium. And again, I want to highlight the importance of this is, again, in playing around with the technology to see how useful it can actually be. You had a hilarious example on a stock we covered quite a while ago now, where I had put into the report that the company didn't have a credit rating because they don't have a credit rating. Just put that out there. And I think you had gone in and you had punched something into either Google or into one of the AI bots or whatever it might be.
It was Google.
What is the credit rating of company X? And it came out with a very authoritative sounding output. It was like, yes, company X has a credit rating of this as issued by this ratings agency, with a little bit of a narrative. And again, just be so careful, because if Copilot can lie to you about whether it can read an MP3 or not, it can lie to you about its analysis and just sound very intelligent while doing that. It's called hallucination sometimes. And so I would really caution anyone out there who listens to this podcast, who maybe subscribes even to Magic Markets Premium, go out there, validate your information yourself. AI is not going to do this for you. It is actually remarkably, let's call it unreliable. I've had many experiences of this where I've done side-by-side analysis to see, you know, what does the AI give me versus what does my own analysis give me? And I've seen a whole raft of errors that AI can actually generate. And even after you try and educate and you say, you've made an error. This is where you've made an error. It's very apologetic. It says, oh, I'm so sorry. Yes, thanks for picking that up. And then goes and generates, again, very authoritative sounding, but incorrect information. So I would say it's very good as a narrative tool. It's good on the linguistic side of things. Sure, no problem. But when it comes to hard analysis, just pay attention to what you're getting there. I'm going to stop there with kind of moaning and groaning about AI, because I want to pivot from that into another talking point. And this is talking about just some of the pressure points that are coming through in other parts of the value chain, other parts of the ecosystem, because we know that AI is sucking up a tremendous amount of investment. A lot of the CapEx in the US is going into AI. You've got data centers coming up, and this is creating a number of flashpoints that I think we need to pay attention to. One is that you've got municipalities, for example, that are going out there and they're providing massive tax incentives to the companies to actually build the data centers in their respective municipalities. And in fact, I read that at least 10 states so far have lost more than $100 million per year in tax revenue to data centers. How do they do this? Is they have to provide the incentives. They want the jobs. They want, you know, the big flashy sticker to say, hey, we've got AI data centers in our municipality. But that comes at a cost. And that cost is being borne, albeit indirectly, by some of these states, by some of those municipalities. Another flashpoint is pay attention to what some of the big players are doing in the market. I mean, a little while ago, we had a report of Microsoft that backed out of a $1 billion data center investment. I think it was March this year. And then we had a report from UBS that was analyzing the company that, Microsoft was transacting with, that then had lease obligations on the other side of around $175 billion across their portfolio. And they were concerned that that company may have overcommitted, because you're now saying, we've got Microsoft coming on stream, there's a lot of hyperscalers coming on stream, we're going to put the supply on stream. And if one or two of those deals go sour, you've got a market that is quite stretched. There's a lot of debt going into this as well. There's a lot of structured finance that has now become a very popular way for players to actually finance their data center projects. And so just pay attention to what's potentially lurking in the background of this AI mega theme, certainly when it starts coming to things like, you know, mortgage-backed securities that are maybe backed by leases for these data centers from large tech companies that have proven that they can maybe pull those leases and try and build these things themselves.
Yeah, the whole value chain is super interesting in this space. And some of the hype behavior just cannot be ignored either. I mean, literally hot off the press this week was this whole NVIDIA investment in OpenAI, but then OpenAI is actually buying chips from NVIDIA. So in other words, is NVIDIA just using its money, essentially its investment budget, to go and then lock in supply, which then comes back as revenue? I mean, it's pretty weird. I don't really see that very often. And when you see it at this sort of scale, then you've got to wonder. You know, vertical integration is fine, but it just feels like the timing is a little bit weird, Mo. A little bit hypey, don't you think?
I saw this meme, which for me was just perfect. It's like, you know, one of these power cord extension things. And it had the one plug that you'd normally plug into a wall socket, just plug back into the extension, because that's NVIDIA Invest.
That's great.
And that for me sums it up, right? I mean, at the end of the day, we've got to pay attention to what's happening. You know, where are we in the hype cycle here? Because yes, I do believe AI is real. Do I believe that the use case, the real use case in businesses, has been proven? I think we're somewhere along that road. I think some of it's been proven, but I think there's a lot of optimism that is out there. And I'm concerned about that. I'm concerned about other parts of the value chain. I haven't even touched on the energy story in the US, which I'll touch on maybe a little bit later on, or maybe it's the subject of another show. But this, for me, just it proliferates. And this is exactly, I'm not calling a global financial crisis or an AI crisis. No, let me put that out. But I think it's really reminiscent of where we saw systemic risks slowly seep through the system in the global financial crisis. You know, initially it seemed like a great idea, bundling all of those mortgages together, because you get this nice blended credit profile. But eventually those chickens come home to roost. And my question is, I don't know how far along the curve we are in terms of those chickens coming home to roost in the AI space. But I would watch out for some of those points I'd indicated. So watch the credit markets, watch how difficult or easy it is for these companies to actually pay back some of the loans they've taken to build out the data centers. Yeah, Ghost, are we plugging ourselves into our own extension cords? Potentially, yes.
Yes, it's a very funny way of putting it. The meme that I saw that I enjoyed was that Spider-Man one, you know, where there's three Spider-Mans, or Spider-Men perhaps, on the screen, and they're all pointing at each other. You know, and it's like, look, AI capex and revenue, you know, and it's just this absolute circle of money going around and around. And look, the reality is that Microsoft is my biggest individual position. It has been for a while. And part of that is AI. And that's what makes this difficult for investors, is because we just don't know. We absolutely don't know. So if you go and have a look at Oracle, like we did in Premium this week, they talk a lot about how so much of the spend up until now has been on training the models, not so much the inference by the models, the ability for them to actually be used to do stuff. You know, the do stuff is still coming. But therein lies the problem, is no one's quite sure what the do stuff is going to entail yet. There are definitely, undoubtedly, big pieces of what's going on out there in AI that is exciting and is going to change things and make things more efficient. I'm sure of that. Stuff like machine learning, even for me personally, for all of the nonsense we talked about earlier with AI, there are elements of the research process that are being made easier. I think where AI is dicey at the moment is when you need a very precise answer. So for example, while we were researching the Oracle show, I tested Copilot and I said, you know, hi Copilot, can you do a table of Oracle's remaining performance obligations? That's basically their unearned revenue, the way they disclose it, by quarter for the past 2 years. So the first thing it does it for the wrong period. Okay. I said by quarter for the past 2 years. Oh, okay, no, now it does it. Fine. And then it can't really read it for a few quarters, and then it gives up. And then the latest one was just completely wrong for the last quarter. And I even told it, look on SEC filings. So for me, AI is really good at something like, if you want to test your thinking around a particular story, or if you want to ask it something where it needs to go and just bring you a stream of thought. So for example, what are some of the recent acquisitions by company XYZ? It does a very good job, usually, of going and reading the news, summarizing it, telling you what they paid for it, cross-checking sources, because there's multiple sources. It's not trying to get a super technical answer. It's going and reading the internet and bringing the answers to you. But here's the thing that also doesn't really make sense, is where does this leave the media industry? Because what came out in the past week in South Africa was a quite frightening report on readership of some of the leading media platforms in South Africa. And there were some incredible year-on-year drops there. Daily Maverick, I'm going to get the number wrong, but I think it was more than 60% down year-on-year. There were only two publications that were in the green on that table. I think one was IOL and the other one was Daily Investor, slightly green. And the rest were just red in terms of website traffic. How much of that is because AI is going and now reading those websites and giving people the answer? Now, that's all very clever right now, but for the AI to work, someone needed to go and write the original report. But if the economics of these platforms is collapsing, where's the original content going to come from? You know, AI can't do that. It needs to read something somewhere else. So I don't know what that looks like in years to come, but it's going to be wild. That's all I do know.
Yeah, that's actually another good analog for that circular reference, right? Like plugging it back into the same extension cord. Eventually, there's just no new power coming into the system. I mean, Ghost, I actually saw a similar report here in Canada talking about exactly that point, about traditional media and how website hits are way down again because of AI. So I don't think it's a uniquely South African problem, and it wouldn't be because AI is a global phenomenon. That media report with the impact on traditional or even digital media is one that I actually saw replicated up here in North America. Now, I just want to touch on two last very interesting points that I wanted to raise. I mentioned the energy constraints, right? What a lot of people don't know is that, yes, okay, there are energy constraints. And I'll throw out some statistics I've read recently where local governments, again, Phoenix, Arizona, is really looking to grow their data center power capacity over 500% in the coming years. And the amount of power that's going to require is enough to support 4.3 million households. Right? For context, that's more than 1% of the total US population. That's just Phoenix, Arizona's data center capacity, the power that will require in the coming years. You've got other states like Virginia looking at 50 new data centers in the works at present, and they've now gone and contracted to the state's largest utility. So again, look at where you are in the value chain. Dominion, I don't think that's a stock we've covered. We've covered other energy producers. They need to build 40 gigawatts of additional capacity to meet that demand alone, just 50 new data centers. So again, this is going to look absurd in the context of a South African listener, for example, that looks at Eskom's total production capacity. That's just what's needed for the new investment in a single state in the United States. Now, it goes beyond energy. We've spoken a lot about energy, but it goes beyond energy because a lot of people don't know that data centers use water to cool their servers. And they roughly consume, 100 megawatt data center will consume roughly 2 million liters of water per day. And that's the equivalent of 6,500 households. So this is now putting strain on water supply for nearby residential communities. This is starting to become a pressure point. So just pay attention to some of those. Last point I want to touch on, Ghost, because this I found super interesting. I wanted to see what is the historical context here in terms of these mega trends that are changing the world. And I read this very interesting article that looked at Britain back when the railways were being rolled out. So the mid 1800s. And there was an interesting stat that I saw here, which is that from 1844 to 1847, investment in railways as a percentage of British GDP rose from 5% to 13%. Okay, now I don't have to tell you that was a bubble that eventually burst. But for context, if we look at it versus the spend on AI, over the last several years, let's call it 4 years here, American firms have invested roughly 3 to 4% of American GDP over the past 4 years. So it's still a long way off those double digits that we saw in Britain with the railway boom that actually happened. But eventually, when that railway boom ended, not only did investment collapse, but it killed a lot of stuff further down the value chain. It killed some of the smaller rail operators. And again, expect to see this. I don't know how far down this AI road we are, but expect to see that as that ratchets up, maybe we still have some way to go. but I'd be very concerned, specifically because, as we've indicated, the use case hasn't really been proven in terms of a tangible real-world output. But at the same time, it's consuming tangible real-world resources, energy and water. Ghost, every time you say thank you to your co-pilot for messing something up, apparently that utilizes a significant amount of energy as well. So is that sustainable? In my book, I don't think so.
Yeah, it's there's a whole lot of considerations here. And I guess it begs the question as we finish this up, which is, why am I so low on Microsoft? And why are so many people invested in the space? And I think the reality is no one really knows where this goes. But I like to think that if anyone's going to figure it out, it's probably the likes of a Microsoft, for example. They've been at the top of the tech game for a very long time. I've actively avoided buying any of the more obscure, very hyped up names where it's just no indication of what the valuation could really be. So what's happened with Oracle recently, for example, I haven't held Palantir. I mean, obviously there are times where I wish I had, because a lot of this stuff has gone crazy. But I feel like if we are going to reach a point in which this bubble pops, where everyone goes, hang on, we've actually way over invested in AI. Yes, we need some of this stuff, but we're in way too deep now. And it's big impairments and it's pullback and it's everything else. The big guns like a Microsoft or a Meta will be fine. It might hurt, it might sting, but through the cycle, they will be okay. But the companies that have really hyped it up like crazy, thrown all their cash flow at it, etc., they might not be so okay. Those are the share prices that can then halve or drop to a third of what they are currently. I genuinely don't believe that that can happen to the likes of Microsoft. Maybe, you know, some will say that's a naive view or it's an overly bullish view. I mean, fair enough. That's what makes a market, is everyone has different views. But that's why I'd rather own some of the leaders at a time like this than the very hyped up small players or smaller players, certainly.
Yeah, Ghost, I think that's a good place to wrap. I mean, I still have exposure to the sector, to the mega trend. I've chosen where I get that exposure. We covered ASML quite recently in Magic Markets Premium. Go and have a look at that. I've got an ASML position. I've historically had a Taiwan semiconductor position. And so there are different parts of the value chain you may choose to play in. But at the end of the day, when the tide goes out, you know, that's going to be painful across the ecosystem. And like the railways, eventually some of the stronger players will remain and there will still be something left. But just be very sensitive to how much you're paying for the exposures that you're getting out there. That's something we always try and land on in Magic Markets Premium, is that, yes, there's a story, yes, there's a narrative, but at the end of the day, make sure you're paying a price, a multiple for a stock that you are comfortable with at the end of the day, bearing in mind all of the risks. Now, unfortunately, that's where we got to leave it this week. We're not Luddites. Let us know what you thought of the show. Hit us up on social media. It's at Magic Markets Pod, one word, at Finance Ghost and at Mohammed Nala. Or you can find us on LinkedIn. Pop us a note on there. We hope you've enjoyed this. Until next week, same time, same place. Thanks and cheers.
And as a passing goodbye, when you read this transcript, I hope you appreciate the pain that goes into getting it right. Just kidding. Thank you for listening and we'll see you next week.
This podcast is for informational purposes only and is not financial or investment advice. Please speak to your personal financial advisor.